Lisa Patel, a pediatrician at Stanford, is worried about the growing danger of air pollution.
I'm really concerned that a child born today is likely to breathe poorer air quality than what we enjoyed.
As the climate warms, extreme wildfires are blanketing many cities and towns in thick smoke. That smoke can contain tiny particles called PM2.5, which have been linked to health problems like asthma. Young children, whose lungs are still developing, are especially vulnerable to this pollution, and they can even be exposed indoors. For example, Patel remembers walking into the neonatal intensive care unit during a wildfire in 2020.
And there was so much smoke outside that our filtration systems couldn't keep up, and you could actually smell it inside of our NICU.
Patel also worries about the Trump administration's efforts to repeal some air pollution regulations. Power plants, vehicles, and factories also emit PM2.5. But the Trump administration recently took steps to loosen stricter standards on this pollution that were set by the Biden administration. To help protect children's health, Patel encourages people to speak up for cleaner air and climate action. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Just one more thing before your interview. Can I have your address, please?
I live on Main Street.
I need your exact address.
I live on Main Street.
Oh.
No job, no home. And no home, no job. Don't let homelessness assumptions get in the way of homelessness solutions. Go to CanadaCanDoIt.ca. Help the Canadian Alliance to End Homelessness.
Are there any, like, non-dance, I guess one could say, like, a non-artistic way? I mean, that could be open for interpretation. We know this. Are there other ways that you practice in your everyday to sort of maintain that, like, body mind and spirit connectivity? Is there, like, other things that you do in your day to kind of maintain that?
I spend a lot of time outside, or I try to. You know, sometimes I gotta be stuck up here with my books and research papers and stuff.
Yeah.
Which I also like. Well, I like that kind.
You find what you like within them.
I'm working with what I've got up there.
Yes.
But I do, yeah, I love to be outside and going on hikes and things, walking.
Hell yeah. I mean, that's really it. That's really all you got to do sometimes. And I've been trying to get a lot better with that also. I think just recently I've kind of like, my brain's like, oh yeah, you live in British Columbia.
Yeah, it's
you're not
really
in Toronto.
Nice out there, like.
Go outside, diva. And like, mm-hmm. I was so gagged, like last summer specifically, like I was going on so many walks, just like finding things. And I was like, I'm a 15-minute walk from Burnaby Lake. Walk?
Just walk.
And like, no. Yeah, I'm walking along the highway, but it's like the highway is covered in beautiful trees.
Like, and literally, yeah.
Yeah, and like I find so many trails, and it's just, I'm getting a lot better at it. I've been really bad. I the first time in like a few weeks, I smudged yesterday morning, and I was like, oh my God, I need to step my game up. What's going on? But then again, obviously, like having that sort of mindset, like you have to be perfect every time. I mean, that's colonialist in itself. But yeah, it is a journey, and it's a good thing of where we live, how we can still utilize it. While we can. For this first music break, we're gonna do Blood Song by Lady Midnight.
Thank you.
Wrote this question was quite, it feels a bit direct, but I feel like there's no other really way to approach this question. And I guess, like, I have my own weird apprehension with questioning this sort of thing, that I know has, like, varied levels of validity within them. How do you feel about the current state of Indigenous student representation at SFU's Contemporary Art School?
How do I feel? I don't know. But what I do know is that every time I'm making a choreography, I send out a little message to all the dancers. I'm like, first priority to be in my piece goes to Indigenous students. I really want to get to know you and work with all of you. And then I get zero response. Which, all in all, tells me that I am the only Indigenous student currently enrolled in the dance programs. Mm-hmm. Which is an interesting thing to think about.
Yeah, especially, like, in the case of the SCA, I feel it's It's such a small building where, but also inhabits like a ton of different students of different disciplines. And so, like, it makes sense for just the nature of a university building to where we don't really see that many people that aren't in our own cohorts and our own classes and our own circles. But then, like, you really, like, I'm on year four. And you're number two, my love. So I don't really like it's really well, actually, anyone I can actually think about, they probably are graduated by now. What I do remember from my first year, actually, my involvement in like the Femnisa is like quite like pathetic. I feel like on my end, I'm not very active in that community. And I feel like just being on the Vancouver campus, like that totally like is definitely a significant part of it. Nicole Manson, she was the coordinator for the Vancouver campus. And I remember when I was in my first year, I had a few meetings with her, and she was telling me how she was trying to get like Indigenous student space at the SCA, or at least on the Vancouver like buildings, and how it then was starting that they were just, I think it was the fishbowl on the fourth floor, or maybe the second floor, I can't remember specifically. I think they were just kind of, it didn't go very far. It was never made. The closest they ever got to actually having it be put in place was that they just booked that room for like those few months and like told people when they can freely walk in, like go in and use it, and how there's probably some printed
Printed
piece of
piece of
paper
paper
on
on
the
the
door
door
or
or
something
something
like
like
that,
that,
saying
saying
what
what
it
it
was.
was.
But
But
yeah,
yeah,
that
that
was,
was,
I
I
think,
think,
3 years
3 years
ago
ago
now.
now.
And
And
I mean,
I mean,
I
I
don't
don't
think
think
they've
they've
ever
ever
really
really
circled
circled
back
back
on
on
it.
it.
And
And
yeah, I don't think so.
yeah. It's interesting because I do think, I mean, I get it. If it just is that there aren't that many of us there. But it really makes you think. I think I also came from talking about my own experience with this, I guess, thought and feeling over it. I came from Toronto, and I guess, and this was also like perpetuated by like friends and people in my life and like mentors. I thought that BC was going to be like the Indigenous capital. Like, I thought there was going to be Native people walking up and down the
The
street.
street,
I
I
thought
thought
there
there
was
was
going
going
to
to
be
be
like
like
all
all
my,
my,
like,
like,
I
I
thought
thought
there's
there's
going
going
to
to
be,
be,
I
I
thought,
thought,
wouldn't you like to know what I thought, my lovely, lovely, lovely broadcast listeners? Well, in all fairness, this episode, as I stated, is going to be a two-parter. So, for comedic effect and for the best structural through line for these next episode, I cut off here. But yeah, these are kind of just like the seedlings of kind of what our discussion then kind of delves more into within like the realms of academia, being an Indigenous student, you know, having soirees with colonial practices as an Indigenous person in modern day, and what that does to our psyche and many other parts of our lives. But I thought that may be a nice little treat for everyone, to kind of keep with this kind of theme of like urban indigeneity, our own struggles, but also in the realm of school and the kind of things that we do here at SFU at the Contemporary Art School. I thought that we could finish this off for the last music break to be one of my own projects. I mean, of course, like all the soundscape stuff that I show at the end of episodes are my stuff. Technically, I'm using other people's writing, but this is my own song. And I wrote this one specifically through my positionality as an urban Indigenous person, specifically a mixed white passing urban Indigenous person living in Toronto. And, you know, my experience with that and my experience with things such as like family connection, land connection, self connection, cultural connection, girl connectivity all around. I had performed it at the Spring 2025 Music and Sound Festival at the School of Contemporary Arts. I had a lot of help from multiple professors of mine on mixing and song structure and performance and all that, so I like to shout them out a little bit in this kind of way. Yeah, and shout myself out too. Here is When Copper Touches Snow by me. Caitlin Terrell. And I'll see y'all next week for a continuation of our talk with Kalia. And enjoy.
You're listening to CGSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples.
Pretend they weren't there. Pretend they You're listening to CJSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia.
This is Nicole with CJSF 90.1 FM. You're listening to Campus and Community Radio, broadcasting from Burnaby on the unceded Coast Salish territories. I have Will here today. I just want to thank you, Will, for joining me. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We're actually going to be talking about the Michael J. Fox Theater. It's a beloved Burnaby institution since 1993, which is at the risk of shutting down. So, I mean, please, Will, can you share like how you're affiliated with the Michael J. Fox Theater and sort of like what's about to potentially happen?
Sure. So I work for IATSE, which is a union that represents all kinds of arts and cultural workers, including film, TV, stagehands. We have about 170,000 members across North America. And one of the oldest locals that we have is Local 118, which represents stagehands and other theater workers in BC. Mm-hmm. And so a few weeks ago, all of the theater technicians at the Michael J. Fox Theater made the unanimous decision to join IATSE Local 118,
okay,
and to certify the theater to make it a union venue, which it hadn't been in the past. And it was through that process and through conversations with the employer that is the Burnaby School District that we learned that actually the school district was planning on shuttering the theater as of June 30th of this year. And so that's how we got involved. You know, it was through our representation of the workers that we learned that this happened. And of course, we want to try and protect those jobs, and we want to start bargaining a collective agreement for those workers. Mm-hmm. And through that process, like, there's just been this huge outpouring of support from the community as well. So it's really taken on a life of its own beyond our involvement as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mentioned in the very brief intro that the theater has been around since 1993. So obviously, it's been a pivotal, route for the Burnaby community. I'm sure that it's going to be pretty devastating if it's, you know, not available for community. Mm-hmm. What can folks do to maybe help stop this, if there's anything, you know, that we can do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you're right that it's at the core of the community. It's it's a theater that's booked 200 nights a year, which is for any theater an incredible achievement. And it's used by Burnaby residents. It's used by primarily theater and dance groups for competitions. And so there's a really strong community behind it that wants to keep this operating. There kind of isn't anywhere else in the area that's suitable for those kinds of events. In terms of what people can do, we've launched a campaign to save the theater, to keep it open for community use. Mm-hmm. There's a website for the campaign, which is savethemjftheater.ca. On there's a petition, and the petition at the moment has almost, I'm watching it right now, it's about to get to 4,000 signatures in a week. Yay. So that gives you an idea of how many people really care about the theater.
Absolutely.
So people can share the petition and sign the petition. But what we're also finding has a lot of impact is actually reaching out to decision makers directly. Mm-hmm. Really, at the moment, that's the city of Burnaby, because we're hoping that the city of Burnaby steps in and is able to provide the funding and the support to make sure that when the school district steps back, there's somebody to step in to take over the theater.
Yes.
And so reaching out to them directly and explaining why it's important to you and why investing in arts and cultural spaces is so important, that's having a lot of impact.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I will be including the link that you referenced. So just in case you are driving or, you know, walking or something like that, and you didn't catch it real quick, no worries, because that will definitely be there. I'm curious if, I know social media is, you know, a great way of spreading the word. Is that something, or is there any social media presence for this campaign as well, or just strictly the website?
We actually haven't yet made our own social media presence. I think that might change, and it's still early days for us, and I think that's going to change. We have seen lots of Facebook groups, like, you know, the dance community, for instance, is very active on Facebook, and it's been spreading through Facebook kind of on its own.
Right.
But no, stay tuned for that on our end. I think maybe next week we might think about launching some social media presence too. This has moved incredibly quickly.
Yeah, because
we were expecting.
Yeah, I when I heard about it, I was like, oh my gosh, I need to reach out right away because, you know, I mean, we are community radio. We want to sort of be a platform to share these stories and to spread the word about this, mm-hmm. and hopefully it can be stopped. Is there, I mean, you said that things are working pretty quickly. Are there any next advancements, do you think, like upcoming or?
Well, we know that the city of Burnaby last year committed to doing a feasibility study about, you know, whether the city can get involved and how exactly they can get involved. We understand that that report is due imminently. It could be as soon as next week, which is why we're moving so quickly on this.
Okay.
So as far as getting an answer from the city, that's a pivotal piece. And so we're trying to build some pressure around that and make sure that the city understands that this is a really important issue for the community. So that we're aiming towards next week. There is a council meeting next week.
I was going
to
ask about that.
We were trying to get on the agenda and it doesn't look like we made it onto the agenda for the council meeting. Mm-hmm. But we do know that some of the correspondence from residents and from community groups has made it into the package for council next week.
Okay.
So we're just trying to keep the pressure on council while we work with community to try and think of whatever ways we can to support this, right? Like as a union, we have over 100 years of expertise working in theatres. We know that the community groups have lots of expertise in running events and running fundraising. And so I think between us and the city and everyone else involved, I think that we can come up with some ways to keep this place running for the community.
Absolutely. I am sending all the vibes. I've signed the petition as well because I also moonlight and work for a performing arts theater in New Westminster. So I know they sort of face some of those issues with Massey Theater way back when. So I'm hoping that, you know, we are able to save Michael J. Fox Theater. And if you wouldn't mind to please plug the website again so that folks who might have just been listening right now will know where they can go to support.
Yeah, the website is savethemjftheater.ca. The petition's there at the bottom of that page. There's an email address too if you want to get in touch with us and offer support in a different way, or you're part of a community group that wants to support somehow, please do reach out directly to us as well. But savethemjftheater.ca.
Wonderful. And before I let you go, again, I want to thank you so much because I know it's busy times and you have a lot on the go. Is there anything that we might not have talked about or that you might not have shared that you would want to share before we sign off?
I think that just about covers it. But we've been really blown away by the show of support, and so we'd like to keep the momentum going. You know, we've heard from people, for instance, who went to Burnaby South Secondary School. They used to perform at the theatre, and now their kids are performing at the theatre. So it's keeping a legacy alive, and we're really excited to have so much support. So thanks for having us on.
Absolutely. I'm so glad that you were able to join me again. Will, thank you so much. And thank you all listeners. Again, I will include the links so that you can stay connected, and as well as the email that you referenced as well. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m.